Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord. What a privilege, Lord, that we have. Lord, sometimes I think myself takes some of it granted, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I think of those in other countries, Lord, and Lord, I see what we hear of what they go through, Lord, and oh God. And yet it doesn't hinder them, it doesn't stop them from gathering. Lord, even when it is against the law for them to gather, they won't stop gathering. They'll still assemble themselves together, Lord. Oh God. How, Lord, that ought to really touch us, Lord God, when we have the liberties and freedom we have, God. How much more able should we be able to assemble ourselves, Lord? Lord, bless your people today, Lord. I pray that the word, which we know the word, Lord, is truth. The Spirit giveth life. Lord, I ask, God, that you'll anoint me this morning, Lord, that that word may come forth, Lord, and have its eternal effect upon our souls and lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I want to start reading at verse 26. Now, I know I just read this last Sunday for our Christmas message, but I just wanted to... I already actually had this scripture in line to speak on finding favor. So I just want to go back to it this morning. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when the angel of the Lord come to the priest Zacharias and told him that his wife was going to have a son, you know, Zacharias had all kinds of examples in the word of this happening. It had happened before. Sarah in her old age, Hannah. It had happened before. He had examples. And yet, even with the examples, he didn't believe. You remember that? And the Lord made him mute until he couldn't speak until the child was born. But Mary, there wasn't one other example that she had to look back to. This had never happened before. She something was being said to her that seemed improbable, impossible. The only thing Mary asked the angel was, when he said, "You'll conceive," said, "How can that be, seeing I've not known a man?" But once he told her, "The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow thee, the thing which shall be conceived in thee will be holy," Mary never asked any more questions. She didn't say, "Well, how is that possible? That ain't never happened before. How could Mary just accept that?" She didn't have no examples of it. And you know something? She, when the angel told her this, she didn't feel a thing. There wasn't no stirring. There wasn't no feeling. There was no sensation. There was nothing. But Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, I accept whatever God wants to do with me. I accept whatever God is asking of me. I accept whatever God is telling me to do. It's his word. I accept it. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what, friends, that's how we're going to have to be. This bride in this last age, I'll tell you, that's how she will be. This bride in this last age, she'll be able to stand like Mary and say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." For the word will be born in her. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You notice that as soon as Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," the Bible says the angel departed. He didn't hang around and say, "Now let me explain to you how all this is going to happen, Mary. Now let me make sure, Mary, that you are, that you've got enough faith for this." The angel didn't stand around to prop her up, to say, "Well, I'm going to help you through this." No, that angel was just set there. He was just sent there to bring this message. And once he brought the message, she had to believe it. I'll tell you what, friends, we've received an angel in this last day. And there's a word of God delivered unto us. And there's a lot of people that they're still wanting the angel around. They're wanting the angel to come back. They're wanting the prophet to come back. They're wanting, you know, all these tent meetings and all this stuff to happen and everything. It's just, for what reason? The only thing you have to do is believe. Believe the message that God sent. Not just say we believe it with our mouth, but live that message. Hallelujah. I know there's some things that it seems like I go over and over and over. And I trust and hope that now that we've got our voice out on the internet, I pray some of the folks around here might get on there and hear it. Because I'll tell you something, friends. It ain't good enough to say you believe the message or say you believe the prophet. You've got to live that message. You've got to become one with that message. If that message says go to church, you need to be going to church. People sit at home, have books on their shelf, have tapes or CDs or whatever else. That ain't going to save them. That ain't what the message said. That ain't what it came for. The message didn't come for us to worship. Listen, Mary never worshiped that angel. The prophet wasn't sent to us so we would worship him. He always pointed us to Jesus Christ. That's who we're to worship. Hallelujah. Mary didn't wait to feel something or something that would make her to know that, okay, now I've seen something, now a sign, I know this is really going to happen. She didn't wait on a sign. She didn't wait on a little feeling. She didn't wait on a sensation. The word had been delivered to her, and she just took him at his word and believed it. What was it that brought that about for her to conceive? She just took him at his word. It wasn't up to her. She didn't have to do something special. She didn't have to go to a special place for this to happen. She didn't have to go at a certain time for this to happen. All she had to do was believe it was going to happen. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. When it happened, she felt nothing. Whew. Come on now. When she conceived, there wasn't no feeling. What does it take till you sisters, just forgive me if I get it wrong, what does it take to like the third trimester before you start feeling something moving around? Man, you understand what I'm saying here. Even when it happened, Mary didn't even know it happened. She just was going on believing God. She couldn't see God working to bring his word to pass, but she believed he was going to bring it to pass. And friends, listen, through that faith, the word became manifest. That's what we've got to do. Sometimes there's things going on in our lives and we don't see the hand of God, whether it's moving or not. We've got something that we bring before God, and we're praying, we're asking for healing, we're asking for deliverance, we're asking for God to undertake in a situation, and we look and it don't seem like we see God moving, but that ain't what you got to look for. You just got to believe him. The prophet says this, and believest thou this, he said, when the true heart come before God and meant business and took God at his word and started testifying of it and looking to the unseen, then God's promise always produced what was asked for. Hallelujah. It always produced what was asked for. Hallelujah. Ask. God, when we come before him and we ask God for something, friends, look, don't wait until you see God moving on the scene. Just believe it. Truth cannot be stopped. You could be in the midst of lies, but truth will not be stopped by the lies. Truth always manifests itself. Brother M says, and again here in Los Angeles, California, he was preaching the same message, but this is in 51, said, when God takes the Holy Spirit and brings that word to you and makes it alive to you, a reality that your faith, stand up and claim it. You don't have to feel nothing or see nothing or nothing. You have to believe something. Said, that's all we had. Listen, Brother Lamb said, that's what Mary had was the word. That was all she had. And he said, that's all we have. But he said, here's the thing. That's all you have to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was it Mary done to find favor? What did she do to find favor? She had found favor with God before the angel ever came. Amen. because that was the salutation the angel gave to her. He said, you're highly favored. Mary was living according to all the words she had at that time. Humble. Humble to God's word. I'll tell you what, we could never enough stress, just be humble before God. Be humble before God. But did Mary have to do something outstanding to find favor? Nope. She washed clothes at the same place everybody else was washing clothes. She didn't cook any extra special with more than anybody else. She wasn't more religious than all the other sisters. Mary didn't go around thinking, well, now I'll tell you what, now I've got something to preach a little bit here. Hallelujah. But you can always testify. Hallelujah. I think sometimes they around this message they've preached to such a state of women being silent that we can't even get our sisters to testify. You can testify. You need to testify when God does something in your life. Brothers and sisters alike, we need to tell what God is doing. You know, when God is doing something in your life, and when you testify in that, do you realize how much that does for other people that might be going through something? Do you realize how much encouragement that is? Hallelujah. I want to read something I came across here when I was searching for these things, and I came across something that would deal with this. What we're speaking about is being highly favored and having the right character. Brother Branham says, when Mary came to greet Elizabeth, said, they were both believing women, as we'd call it today, ran out and threw their arms around one another, hugged one another, kissed one another, saluting each other. He said, oh, I like that. I like a good, warm feeling, don't you? I hate that old, cold form of way we got. People today are so far away from one another, you don't care for one another. That's what's the matter. Even church members get the same way. They don't care for one another. Why? Why, if anybody does anything wrong, trying to shove him down, don't shove him down. Pick him up. Help him. Don't try to criticize him and tell somebody else about him. Go to him and put your arm around him. Amen. He said, but today they got so afraid, they even afraid of shaking hands, let alone putting their arm around him. He said, I believe in an old, good old Methodist pump handle handshake. Get right down, he said, and shake it. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, friends. I've looked over this past year and seen how many times that in messages God would have us bring out about loving one another and how important that is and how important having the right kind of love is. We can't love one another, how are we gonna do anything else the word says? It's just word says pray for them to do despiteful things unto you. caring for one another. You know, sometimes somebody's going through something. People around them, if they know what they're going through, they'll try to come up with something to say. You know, that's all well and good. You know, they just mean it to encourage. Sometimes what you need is just somebody to listen to you. You're doing all you can to have the right Christian attitude. You're doing all you can to have the right kind of love and everything going through something. Sometimes what you need is just you don't need somebody sitting there going through quoting all kinds of scriptures to you. You just need somebody to love you. You need somebody to care. That's all. Character. That's what Mary had. That's what caused Mary to find favor with God, was her character. Mary had good character. You know, God molds character in us. He does. He allows things to, he uses different means to mold our character. And the thing we got to do is just allow him to do it. Not balk at it. It ain't always pleasant. But I'll tell you what, friends, when you come out on the other side, if you let him mold your character through whatever you're going through, when you come out on the other side, you won't have nothing to be ashamed of. That's right. Hallelujah. Character is what makes a person. Brother Branham says, you know, you say the name Jezebel. He said, you don't find people to me naming their kids Jezebel. He said, they've got real kind of superstitious about that name. They don't like that name. He said, but when it comes to her sin, they're okay to do that. He said, you know what message he said that in? He said that in message titled Pain Face Jezebel. He said they'll cringe at her name. He said, but it wasn't her name that made her like that. Said it wasn't her name that made her that way. Said it was her attitude. It was her attitude at the Word of God. And that molded a complete different character. Brother Ram said, the thing we ought to be, let me find the word he actually used. He said, shiver, that's what he said. He said, instead of shivering at her name, shiver at her sin. He said, but people will say, mention a name, they'll say, oh my, that, oh no, not that name. He said, but you talk about her sin, they're all, well, that's all right. Painted face Jezebel. You imagine what all else he said in that message. Hallelujah. Mary found favor. You know, do you think Mary, the reason she found favor was she was living a life free from mistakes? I don't believe that. You say, well, do you have scripture for it? Well, did Rahab live free of mistakes? Because she's mentioned in the lineage of Christ, the lineage of David. Did Bathsheba, was she free from mistakes? But she's mentioned. Hallelujah. There, and maybe you say, well, I've heard that preached before, you know, that's wonderful. But just think about it this morning. What it means to us this morning. Because, friends, look, the devil will always be pointing you at your mistakes and saying, well, how in the world could you have favor with God? Remember, we preach it for us. Brother Bram says it's not your mistakes God looks at, but it's the desire of your heart. And he said a man might make a mistake, a sister might make a mistake, said, but he said, if they've got the right kind of character, they'll rise back up and go on forward. Hallelujah. See, also, we're human. And friends, when we got the Holy Ghost, that affected our soul. Our flesh didn't get it. That's right. Our eyes didn't get the Holy Ghost. Huh? We didn't get the Holy Ghost up here. That's why you can still be affected by things you see and thoughts that go through your mind. There are things out there that are geared towards you seeing it and it making a thought go through your mind. Every time I know we got a few billboards around here, but when you go up to Nashville, you drive around, there's billboards everywhere. All around Nashville. And I've noticed some of them billboards, friends, all them advertising alcohol. And they don't just put a bottle up on there. They got to put some man up there and a couple women around him. Or put some woman up there, you know, in some kind of sexy way. What is it? It's Brother Bram says the greatest battle ever fought is being fought in the mind. But this is my point. My point is this. Satan will point you at all these things and try to hinder you and bring you down to where you look and say, well, I sure can't have favor with God. I'm so full of mistakes and everything. Your flesh didn't get it. Now that don't mean you can just go out and partake of sin and you'll be okay. There's some that preach that, you know. I ain't preaching that. What I'm saying is the Holy Ghost inside you, it'll bring correction to this flesh out here. This flesh man is exactly what it is. It's just human flesh. As we preached, I think we said it last Sunday, this flesh is not in a redeemed state. Your soul is in a redeemed state. But not this flesh. You know, I'll make jokes about being bald, you know, brother. I'll make jokes about being bald and things like that or whatever. But, you know, deep down, I'd like to have hair. Not no vain sort of way. Of course, there is sometimes that I think about the maintenance, and I got low maintenance. What do you do with your hair in the morning? I run a wash rag through it. I like the low maintenance of it. But you know what? When you go to step outside and it's cold out there, and if you forget your hat, you'll know it real quick as soon as you step outside. I don't know the times I've stepped outside and said, well, hold on, don't lock that door yet. I got to go back in and get my hat. And if you had hair, it covers your head up. You wouldn't feel it so much. The point is, if this body was in a redeemed state, I wouldn't be standing up here looking like this. You know, when I came here, what was he, Brother Phil? 34, 35 years old, something like that. I never thought about being here, standing here, and being 53 years old and preaching across this pulpit. Brother Phil and I were talking just the other day, and we was talking about how winters were up north and how we didn't really miss them. Didn't really miss the cold and didn't really miss the snow. And I said, when I was young, we lived up north, when it snowed, I loved it. And one of the things we liked to do was get out there and play football when it get snow on the ground everywhere. And we got to talking about that, and Brother Phil said, I could not get out there and do that now. I said, I can amen that, brother. We were talking about you get out there in the cold and you fell or somebody hit you or whatever. You know, you's either so bundled up you didn't feel it, or it was just so cold you was numb. But when you came inside, you know, of course when you're young, you can shake that stuff off. Me, I remember, I don't know if it was a year or two ago, and my son Jack, I was trying to teach him how to sprint at the end of his 2-mile run, you know, for his test. And I got down there and I started to run along with him, and we got to a certain place. I said, all right, now here's where we sprint. And I started sprinting. And it surprised him. I told him, I said, you didn't think this fat man could run that fast, did you? But I pulled something in my leg. Pulled something right up in my thigh. And I'm going to tell you what. I think it took me about 2 weeks of going through feeling that thing before it got better. You know, when I was young, I was in the Army. I didn't know what happened to me to hear just about a year or two ago when I went to the doctor complaining about pain in my ankle. And he said I had arthritis real bad in it. He said, and the reason is, he said, there sometime you broke it and let it heal on its own. That's when I was in the Army. I marched, I ran, I did. I did everything else on that broke ankle. But I was young then. If I broke my ankle today, you better believe I wouldn't be out there running and all that stuff. I don't know how in the world I stood through it then, but I did. Now, I'm saying all these things to let you know, friends, if we can see that this body is not in a redeemed state, and we can see those things, we can see as we grow old, this body ages. And just as simple as you can see that, that's how simple it is to realize that your flesh doesn't have the Holy Ghost. That ain't what it come to. There's a lot of folks, friends, that they get it kind of mixed up. They have some kind of experience in their spirit, and their flesh goes to jumping and dancing around, and, you know, or speaking in tongues, and they think they got it. Well, you can get blessed in your flesh. You can get blessed in your spirit and get real happy. But when you get the Holy Ghost in your soul, it changes you. It changes you. It changed, you know, Brother Jewel, I like Brother Jewel Forney, he said, you know, when I was in the world, he said, I love to dance. And he said, now that I've come into this word and I've got filled with the Holy Ghost, so I still love to dance. He said, I just changed dance floors. And I agree with that. I'm not putting that down at all. But friends, this is a thing. That change that happens in you, you don't think the way you used to think. Things that used to not bother you, now you look and say, whoa, wait a minute. You'll think different. You'll act different. I can tell you standing here this morning, you could be going through something, facing something real hard, somebody attacking your family. Buddy, I'll tell you, that's hard. And your flesh will want to get the wrong attitude about it. Your flesh will want to hate the person that's bringing it on. But that redeemed soul will control how you act. My family's been going through something, and my mom had been texting me about it, and mom had been saying, you know, act this way, act that way, and I texted her back, and I said, I'm conducting myself just fine. I said, it's just how I feel, you know, ain't... I felt last night like somebody was standing on my chest. It was so heavy. But you know what? I look and I've seen the times that the devil has come against me through these years. Different ways the devil's tried to attack me. The devil don't like me being here. Well then, if the devil don't like you being somewhere, that's good news. That's exactly where you need to be. And that's good news, friends. What do we expect? We expect not to have a fight. We expect the devil not to be fighting us tooth and nail at every front. He's going to. The devil will even try to take from good things you do and bring it about where it almost seems like a disaster. You do good for people and they'll turn around and not literally, but with their actions and attitudes, like they just spit on everything you done for them. They're not your enemy. It's the devil that's your enemy. I feel sorry for people that yield themselves to the devil. You know, I could save this for another message, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Influence. You know, we choose what we're going to allow to influence us. We do. And I'll tell you something. If the associations you're having are influencing you, and you can tell it's influencing in the wrong way, you need to get away from that association. I think about one son of David's. It was influenced by his friend. One son of David's had a lust for his sister. And his friend said, "Go ahead." And he did. And then after he did, he didn't want nothing to do with her. And you know what the influence of that friend did? It got him in such a state that his older brother killed him for what he done. Influence. If you got a friend that you talk to, and after you get done talking to them, they go out and tell everybody else about it, that's not a friend. That's not a friend. Get away from that. Hallelujah. Whew. If I could, I'd tell you what I was going through, but right now I just can't. Y'all pray for us. You know, the prophet talks about when Elijah, you know, come down to that Shunammite woman, and it was a famine in the land. Y'all know the story, how it goes. But the thing was, she found favor with the prophet. And when she found favor with the prophet, she had favor with God. Why was that? It goes right back to the quote I read Brother Ram said about caring for one another. Caring for one another. Hallelujah. You know, they was talking the other day about, you know, how many folks we have in the church and that, and somebody said something about, what if we had 100, 150 or something like that, how would that be? But you know what, friends? I want to tell you something. That ain't never what God promised me. God didn't promise me he was going to pack this place out. I'm not saying he won't, but that ain't what he promised me. He said it'd be a strong church. And I'll tell you what makes us strong is the love of God. Caring for one another. That's right. Whew. You know, I miss my mom and dad sometimes. I miss my brother. And I always say around this time of the year, I get a little more sentimental missing different ones and thinking about times, you know, the gathering together and things, you know, and I'm 53 years old. I've been down here 17 years. And there's been times, friends, I've laid on the couch and missed my mama so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. And I'd get in such a shape, mean to tell me, just get in the car and going up there and see her. I say, no, it's Christmas. I ain't leaving the family. But you know something? Even when I go away to visit, I get to missing y'all. I get to missing this church. And it gets to the point after I'm gone for a spell, you know. Now, if I know the Lord is having me be gone, you know, for a long time, like that one time I was gone for the whole month of April. But I knew that the Lord had sent me. You know, it was what the Lord wanted me to do. I think there was another time back in 2010, I was gone for the whole month of March. That was when my grandson Liam was born. But when I get away from here, it don't take long at all, and I get to thinking so much about y'all that I just want to come back home. I think, and I'm not trying to get you sentimental, but I'm just trying to get you to realize something. I think about it, and you know what I feel? I feel we're family. That's what I feel. I know I'm cared for here, and I know I care for these people. Yeah. Y'all just have to forgive me. You know, Dad said, you know, my name comes from Jeremiah. He said, that's that old crying preacher. He said, turn with me to one last scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to read verses 1 through 6. Proverbs 3 and 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. That means depart from me. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, if you want to refer in your Bible to what that's talking about, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. He said he'd write. I'll write my laws upon the tables of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. How do you find favor with God? Let not mercy and truth depart from you. Allow his word to be wrote on the tables of your heart. And this is real important because he said it'll bring good understanding. But verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I know we're human. I know how I am at times. I'll try to sit around and look at something and figure it out. Try to figure what my next move should be. But if I just lean on the Lord and let the Lord, if there's something I need to do, then the Lord will bring that to me. And I know when I do what the Lord says, I know everything will just start to fall right in place then. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe, friends, I can stand here with a surety this morning and tell you I believe you as a group of people, as a church, you found favor with God. Because I see how God's working in your lives. Yeah. You know, every year when it comes down to the end of the year, I look back over that past year that I've come through. And I look to see if I learned anything or there was any growth that happened in me. And as a pastor, I look to see if we've grown in the Lord here in the church. Growth, it don't come easy. Sometimes growing can be painful. Yeah, I remember as a kid, I was something about the way that, I guess, however my body grew fast. And, you know, I know I didn't turn out to be real tall. I'm just a little over 5'9". But I grew fast. And I remember at night, my legs just hurt me so bad. And my dad had this massager you put on your hand. They gave it to me. They've had it all these years. It says on the box, it's Sears and Roebuck. You remember when it used to be that? Sears and Roebuck. It's something you put it on your hand, big old thing sticks up like that, and it's got these springs that hold it on your hand. I tell you what, it'll make your hands so numb. But Dad used to rub that on my legs at night. It was hurting so bad. And I've showed some people a picture my mom gave me when I was 4 years old, and a lot of people that see it, they couldn't believe I was only four in that picture. I grew real fast. I tell you, sometimes growing is painful. Sometimes growing in the Lord, it's pain. There's things you go through, and it brings a growth. Not so much in stature, a physical stature, but in a stature of a perfect man. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, don't you? I believe as a group we found favor. Let's just keep it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, if you come. Amen. I love y'all. I trust you had a good holiday season. I want to remind you we're having communion and foot washing coming up this Thursday. And a lot of times when that gets announced, I've seen people go to thinking, well, I don't know if I should come or not then, you know. Because I don't want to be eating and drinking damnation, you know, if I got something wrong. Friends, look, we're full of mistakes. Every one of us are. Don't let something like that keep you from coming thirsty. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All you got to do is confess your sin to him, ask for forgiveness, and it's gone. It's gone. I promise you. Amen. God bless you.
Seem to be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. Thank you.
Dismiss us.